Today's gospel reading from Luke. In my Bible, it has little headings for each story, and in my Bible, it's entitled The Temptation of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about the word temptation, I think about a dessert menu or a Chili's commercial. Tempting dishes that make you go, mmm, or something goofy like that, right? But in today's reading, it's the devil who's doing the tempting, and Jesus is the target. And it's not a chocolate lava cake that the devil is waving under Jesus' nose, but it's the idea that Jesus doesn't need to answer to anyone. He's being tempted to embrace his own power, that his power can be used for his benefit and glory alone. The devil's first question to Jesus, will you perform a miracle on your own behalf? The devil says, since you are the Son of God, command the stone to become a loaf of bread. He could have gone on to say, you're hungry, you haven't eaten in more than a month. You're the Christ, for heaven's sake, a loaf of bread appearing from nowhere won't hurt anyone. But Jesus responds with a quote from Deuteronomy, recounting the Israelites who grumbled about their lack of food when they were wandering in the wilderness. And his hunger places himself squarely in solidarity with all the starving people in the world, even as he affirms his trust in God. One does not live by bread alone. The second question that the devil poses to Jesus, will you take on the rule of the imperial world and all the power and glory that goes along with it? In the devil's election process, there's no need for exploratory committees or super PACs or primaries or voting machines, because he says, mine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And I offer it to you if you'll worship me. But Jesus responds again right out of the scriptures, this time quoting out of the Shema. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve only God. Worldly power and authority may exist in the realm that's inhabited by the devil, but Jesus' allegiance belongs to God, whose power and authority are manifested in reversals, right? Lifting up the lowly, bringing the mighty down from their thrones, bringing good news to the poor. So the first test then is personal. Make enough bread for one, a little personal pan pizza. The second is political. Worship the devil in exchange for world domination. And the third test is kind of a combination, and he uses like a publicity stunt to prove, he wants to get Jesus to prove to everybody that God's on his side. This time the devil pulls out all the stops. He even quotes from our psalm, you who dwell in the shelter of the Lord, who abide in the God's shadow for life, say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust. A blatant attempt to get Jesus to jump off the Jerusalem temple so that God's angels will catch him. But the question implicit in this test is, will Jesus trust God to save him in Jerusalem? And Jesus wastes no time turning down this challenge and quotes again from Deuteronomy, do not put the Lord your God to the test. And there, in the contest of dueling Bible verses, the devil is defeated. But don't think he's gone away. We would love to believe that the devil and the forces of evil are confined to the pages of ancient books. But in reality, we face challenges and tests every day in our own lives and ministries. We face plenty of people, places, and things that seek to derail the reign of God, that seek to turn you or me away from our calling as children of God, that seek to keep us from living fully into God's loving desire for us. The devil probably isn't that little guy on the devil ham can, even though I really thought it was when I was a little kid. But I think he's craftier than that, right? The forces of evil are at work all the time to pull us, lure us, tempt us into believing that we don't need to answer to anyone, that we have our own power. The devil may not meet us at the crossroads like the old legend with the promise of fame and fortune in return for our souls, but we may be tempted in other less obvious ways. It reminds me of an old cornball, really stupid joke, but just bear with me. Okay. A priest was driving around San Francisco looking for a parking place. Circling and circling the block, he finally decided to park next to a red curb. He left a note for anyone that might leave him a ticket. And he said, "Dear officer, I circled this block 10 times. I'm a priest on a mission." And then he closed his note with, "Forgive us our trespasses." So when he returned to his car a half an hour later, there was a parking ticket on his car with a little note attached that said, "Dear Reverend, I have circled this block for 10 years. I'm a cop on a mission. Lead us not into temptation." So the truth is, it's so very easy for us to be tempted by little things every single day. Parking in parking places that are illegal, but they're so close to where we're going. I can just park here for a minute. I don't have to return my grocery cart back to the corral. It's my pet peeve. Tiny sins of, "I deserve this," or "somebody else will do it for me." We hardly give it a thought. But there are other hidden temptations, too. It's awfully easy to be comfortable with what we accomplish in life, right? What we accumulate. Stuff makes us feel awfully important. And prevalent in our society are many forms of junk food theologies that emphasize the importance of personal empowerment. In our fast-paced, technology-filled worlds, we imagine ourselves kind of as superhumans, right? We tend to forget that we're nothing without our Creator God, our risen Christ. Jesus, who had all the power of God, refused to use it for his own gain. Thus, he set for us an example, the ultimate example. Instead, he chose to be faithful to his Father and a power that redefines power, lifting up the lowly, bringing the mighty down from their thrones, bringing the good news to the poor. We should never feel 100% comfortable while there are still wrongs to be right. We should always be aware of what difference that we can make in the world in God's name and not our own. In our tests, trials, and temptations, we can open our hearts and trust, just as Jesus did, in the leading of the Spirit, in the empowerment of the Spirit, in the fullness of the Spirit. It's not about comfort. It's not about our own power. It's about God. It's not about the top-down power of the world. It's about the upside-down power of God. It's not about avoiding death, but living into the fullness of life. These are the tests of the wilderness. These are the tests of Lent, the tests of our own ministries, the tests of our lives, the tests that Jesus, in, with, and through the power of the Spirit, enables us to meet. Amen.